In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to look today at two more incidents in chapter 3 of Mark's Gospel. We saw last time, starting with verse 13 of chapter 3, how he started to form the church. He called disciples and named them apostles, ambassadors, if you will. Now we have two more of these incidents defining the kingdom. One is the accusation that he drives out demons by the prince of demons, and the other is that his mother and relatives want to see him. And in both of these, the point is how to relate to Jesus. So the first one, he came home. And once again, the crowd gathered so that they were not even able to eat. And hearing about this, those who are near him, is what the text says literally, and it's translated his relatives. You see, hearing all this, they went out to take a hold of him. For they said, he's gone out of his mind. And the scribes from Jerusalem, so that was one answer, he's out of his mind. The other is, he's possessed by Beelzebul. So now, Jesus is going to answer this first accusation and then return to the opinion of his family and use that opinion, or part of that opinion, to clarify the demands of the kingdom. All right. So, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem. Now notice, you come down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, while it's not geographically the highest place in the country, everybody goes up to Jerusalem. In fact, when a Jewish person comes from some other part of the world and comes into Israel, they are automatically a citizen by the right of Aliyah, by the right of going up, by the R-I-G-H-T, they have a right now because they've gone up. They've gone to Jerusalem. Okay. And those people, the scribes from Jerusalem, said, were saying, really, it's an imperfect, they were saying that he has Beelzebul. And it's in the prince of the demons that he drives out demons. So now, calling them, he began to say to them, them being now, the first them is the scribes. And he says, as our text has it here, you see, how can Satan cast out Satan? If he does that, you see, it means his kingdom is divided against itself. And if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. So, if that's true, you see, then there's ruin in the house, and it can't stand. Huh? If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand because he's divided against himself. It's the end of him, you see? And nobody... Now, that's the end of how ridiculous it is to say that it's by the power of Satan that I'm casting out Satan. That's totally ludicrous. It means his kingdom's over. He's divided against himself. And then he goes on to give to them an instruction. And he says, see, no one can enter the house of a strong man to plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man. Okay. Now, and that's not happening, you see. And he's, see, then he can plunder his house. I'm trying to read from the New American Bible, because I think most of you will have that. I'm just trying to help this way. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness. Now, what he means here about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is to say that the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of Satan. That's total blasphemy. And that, unless you repent and change, you can't be forgiven. So that's the first response, you see. The first of the two answers that he has to give. But that brings us then to the whole problem of satanic opposition to Christ. Huh? They knew, not completely, but they knew enough to know that the promises in the prophets were about to be fulfilled, and they had to strive might and main to stop that. One of the ways they did it was to stir up the theologians against him. So they come up with this, he's doing this because he's in league with the devil. Jesus says, you see, if I'm in league with the devil and I'm driving out the devil, isn't that foolish? You're saying that Satan's kingdom is divided against itself, in which case it's not going to stand. The total stupidity of what they're saying. But he goes on, you see, to add something, you see. He says, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. In other words, because in the very last line of Mark, for they had said he has an unclean spirit. Well, they really were saying more than that even, but it's because of an unclean spirit in him that he's driving out the other unclean spirits. And he's trying, our Lord is trying to highlight the stupidity of such an accusation and what depth of hatred it would have to come from that they would say such a thing and not even see the stupidity of it, and that our Lord certainly sees it and calls it for what it is. Now, in Mark's Gospel, there are many conflicts with Satan and Satan's power as it's exercised by his enemies, his human enemies. Is a very strong element in Mark's Gospel. In other words, that the presence of Christ provokes a battle, as it still does. In how many parts of the world, even as we are here reflecting on Mark's Gospel, is the church under persecution? Sometimes overt and violent, sometimes more clever through legislation and so forth, but And then all the sins of the church being manifest. All of this to disgrace the church, because the church is the body of Christ. Now, we have made it easy for Satan to find things that he can throw up against the church. And we have to do repentance for that. We have to be able to be like not divided, not under the influence of Satan pitting ourselves against one another, and not displaying such sin that we become ridiculous and negligible. All of that weakens the witness, the ministry, the gospel of the church. And what Mark is doing by recalling so many, as we will see, so many of these places of conflict. Remember, the way this public life of Jesus begins back in chapter 1. He came out of the water and went, and then Jesus came and preached. And the very first miracle, the very first action, surprising action or dramatic action of Jesus, is at that very first discourse in Capernaum, just after he returned from the desert and started to proclaim a time of fulfillment, was he was in the synagogue, and he was with the four he had just gathered among himself, Peter and James and John and Andrew. And they're in the synagogue, and he's preaching. And a demoniac starts to scream out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Notice, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, the very first confrontation as Jesus begins his public life is with a demon. And then he heals Simon's mother-in-law. We've done all that. And then the healing of this paralytic, and then the healing of a man with a withered hand. And already this conflict, because they're finding fault with the disciples picking grain as they walk through a field. And now, finally, we have this blasphemy. And our Lord says, finally, every other sin will be forgiven. But if you start, you see, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness for that. He's guilty of an eternal sin. And Mark adds, Jesus says that because they were saying he has an unclean spirit. What depth of malice to descend? What kind of opposition to Jesus? Where is it coming from? On one level is jealousy. You know, he's smarter than they are, and he's more popular, and he really makes more sense than they do. But on another level, it's being used by Satan to build up opposition to Jesus. So the first thing that Jesus says, you see, is, if I'm driving out Satan, it's because I've bound him and I'm plundering his house. And he gives that parable as an example and uses it as teaching. If I am driving out Satan, that means I've entered his house and I have bound him. And I'm stronger than he is. And I will always be stronger than he is. All right, well, we'll now take a break, and then we'll look at the next, which is now about the relatives of Jesus.